Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, you are listening to Chai Chat, where we are into transforming the world of work. And I am here, Victoria Vitier. I am an Enlightened Life Coach and Business Consultant, and my co-host, Mary Rockenstein. Mary, hello.
Hello. Good morning, Victoria. Hi, everyone. It's a beautiful day.
And it is indeed. It is indeed. Mary, tell a little bit about who you are so people know and can visit your website.
Sure. Yeah. Well, my website is under construction, so I'm not going to lead you there today, but my company, please don't go to my website. Not yet.
Yeah, really. Not yet.
My company is Leadership Edge Solutions, and I'm a John Maxwell certified speaker, trainer, and coach. And how about you, Victoria? What do you do?
Cool. Yeah, I work with individuals to enhance their lives and help them make important transitions in their world of work, and also with small companies and small management groups to help them visualize, expansiveness in their organizational development. So here we are, and this month it brings showers and flowers, but it also brings the topic of generations. Yes, people, I was trying to get an audio clip of The Who. I'm still going to try to do that for you. If you can, sort of in the background play My Generation in your mind, that'd be very cool. but we're going to talk about this juicy topic of generations, and we call today's show The Generational Bridge, because our whole purpose here is to take a topic that has been quite contentious and looked at differences and really hopefully at the end of the day help you and the world to realize that there are some important similarities and perhaps complementarities that can be appreciated between the generations that are out there in the work world. Right, Mary? That's our goal.
Absolutely. And I still have never heard of that word, so... Complementarity. I love that word. Are you sure that's not a made-up word?
Those of us who are English majors tend to give ourselves permission to make up words. So
okay.
I think that's one that's out there, but I will look it up.
All
and if
right.
I can't get a validation from Webster, then I made it up and it's cool.
Okay.
But anyway.
Well, I'm going to
so,
check.
Yeah, check on me there. Just to be, keep me honest. Yeah. So, there's a lot out there about the generation gap. In fact, I just downloaded, folks, if you go to Google and you do, you type in generation differences, you will come up with a PDF chart, which is 11 pages long, that is a very, very nice schematic of the traditionalists, baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials. And it's got a lot of good information, and it's charted, so you can refer to it easily. So that might be helpful for you guys to do between the show and next, and to just give yourself a bird's eye view of what some of these differences are. And we're going to talk about them today because they're very juicy.
They are.
All of these groups came to their attributes honestly in terms of the historical period within which they were born and raised, and so there are some really important things going on here with these cohort groups, right, Mary?
Yeah, and I'm going to jump into that. Before I do, I just want to I want to make just a point in that a lot of the information that we're going to share today really came from what I would call expert demographers. Victoria, I've been looking at generational
mm-hmm.
studies for the last 15 years just
because
I found
it
fascinating, in the workplace. It was just had such great application. But you'll hear us say some things today that might sound a little harsh or abrasive. And, so I'm going to remind our listeners frequently and often, hey, this isn't us talking. Victoria and I work with people all day long. We love people of all generations. And we try to find the value in that. But there are some, again, comparisons that have been made, some stigma attached to generations. And that's really what we're going to talk about today because that'll set the stage for our next show, right?
Absolutely. And we are going to give, you know, you a little bit of historical backdrop, too, in terms of the frame of, you know, of historical reference that all of us come from. And so, you know, those are the things that shaped our worldview and the experience of our families as we were growing up. So let's, you know, sort of jump in. And the interesting thing is here again, you know, it's amazing that you know, we can even communicate with those people in generations other than our own because of a lot of differences. One is technology.
Absolutely.
Things have changed
Absolutely.
So rapidly. And we're here, again, this shows that the primary focus of our show is to invite positive transformational change. So every single thing that we talk about is toward, okay, what good can come of this and how can we, you know, utilize this, leverage this in a direction that brings, you know, greater, you know, peace and prosperity to the workforce. And greater expansion, you know, and gratification in the world of work for individuals, for companies, et cetera, et cetera. So our goal is always looking toward how we can leverage this in a positive direction. So let's jump in and take a look at the first major category that we're talking about. You know, would be traditionalist generations.
Yes, and this you know, I would say that for each unique generation, too, and I think most of our listeners probably know this, but there are what we call defining moments that have carved and shaped, you know, many of the attributes of these generations. And we're just going to do a really, really, really high-level view of this. If we look at traditionalists first, which sometimes you hear that referred to as the veteran generation, but I'm going to refer to it today, I'm going to try to remember to refer to them today as the traditionalists, and that generation represents about 45 million people who were born between 1922 and 1945. So today, being 2016, this year they would be anywhere, they'd range in age from roughly 71 to 94. And the funny thing is, Victoria, I don't know if you see this in your world too, but a lot of these people are still working. They have not yet retired. And if we had to roll up all of their generational attributes, and keep in mind their defining moments, I mean, for this generation, one of the biggest defining moments was, you know, the Great Depression. But this generation is really known for being very respectful. They question nothing. They don't question authority. They question absolutely nothing. And as we move along, you're going to see, as we kind of compare and contrast, that's very different, really, from at least two of the other generations in particular, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, the historical times, I mean, just, you know, think about it, are so profound in terms of, you know, these folks, as you said, you know, faced in their families experience of the Depression and World War II and the Korean War and, you know, a lot of modern things that we take for granted, you know, came to be during their lifetimes, you know, and so it's hard sometimes to even figure out how, you know, a generation can even think in a way that melds with another generation that is, say, you know, 40 or 50 years different from them, given the rapidity of technology and how rapid the changes are. So it's mind-boggling.
It is
to even imagine. So, you know, these folks, you know, they would include people like you know, Bob Dole, Elizabeth Taylor, you know, et cetera, you know, some of the our elders in terms of, you know, media and stage and screen, and so, you know, they're still working, as you said, and they hold a lot of wisdom, too, in terms of, you know, these people have a great amount of history, if you think about it, you know, sort of they've lived a long time and they've seen a lot. And so there's many cultures really honor wisdom, and in fact, our culture needs to honor that a little bit more, I think. Don't you, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. And one that just comes to mind, I'm going to throw this out because I think she just turned 94, is Doris Day. She would be another.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I think she just did. So anyway, but that's,
well,
you know,
and interestingly enough, we also are saying that, you know, there are folks who are in these generations who actually, and that's what we're going to talk about, complementarity and those who actually are exceptions in a way in their age group, and so there's so much workability between these categories. Louise Hay, who founded Hay House and et cetera, she is a traditionalist. However, if you think about it, her thinking was very, very cutting edge. So
yeah.
Again, there are a lot of elders out there who have some amazing capacity to think in expansive, broader perspective ways. So, while we're talking about categories, be very careful when you try to categorize anyone.
Yeah,
is my message. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're
absolutely.
Looking at it. So that's our first workplace group that, as Mary said, has about how many of those are out there now? Let's see.
There's roughly 45 million that were born in that generation. And
okay.
That's,
so now we're
that's
looking.
I was going to say, as we move into boomers, yeah, there's a big jump here because in the baby boomer generation, and, for many, many years, the baby boomers were the largest generation at work, or represented the largest generation at work, and that is no longer the case. I'll talk about that more in a minute, but there were roughly 79.9 million people born between, now, the years that I'm going to use are vary depending upon what demographers you follow. For example, I'm going to tell you that the studies I'm using are from 1946 to 1960, but I have seen the baby boomer generation go up to as far as 1964. And it really, it just depends. Years ago, we used the defining moment as to whether or not you were really Gen X or baby boomer was, the question was, if you could answer, do you remember where you were when President Kennedy was shot? And if the answer to that was yes, you were a baby boomer, and if the answer was no, you were Gen X. But nonetheless, just to keep it simple, we're going to use 46 to 60. So this year, that would mean that these people are somewhere between 56 and 70 years of age. And again, they're still working. They haven't retired, and many of them. And their mantra, and I remember this well, is to question everything, particularly as it pertained to, leadership and authority. So you think about a couple of key defining moments for this generation was Kent State and, the Vietnam conflict.
Yes, absolutely. Again, look at the shift, the extreme between the traditionalist and the baby boomer. in many ways, there was a real flip where we were questioning authority as a baby boomer, and as a traditionalist, you never question authority.
Right.
And there's 80 million baby boomers still out there, and many of them, still in the workplace, and many of them leading companies, actually, in the workplace. These are the people who would be in key management positions, key C-suite positions, right?
Yeah, and
we're
creating a little bit of a sandwich here, which I'll get into in a minute with the next generation. But do you want to tell us about a couple of baby boomers that come to mind?
Yeah, and baby
Besides
boomers, we'd have people like Bill Clinton, Meryl Streep, people, in the era that came up in a generation that were looking at, civil rights, Vietnam War, sexual revolution, Cold War, space travel. I mean, so much rapid, cultural change was going on during that time that was really about cultural evolution and questioning old isms and such. So, culturally rich time. So, that's the boomers.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, in a very big drop now to the next generation, Gen X, really only represents 58.5 million. And again, these numbers, I've seen them vary from 1964 to 83 or 84, but I'm going to use, just to keep this all kind of consistent, the demographers that suggest that these people were born between 1961 and 1981. So this year, in 2016, that would represent the people that are roughly between 36 and 55 years of age. And their mantra is kind of funny. If you don't catch this alliteration, it's like, what are you talking about? But they question questions. So, for example, if I were to go up to a Gen Xer in the workplace and say, you know, tell me why you did it this way, their response might naturally be, why are you asking? You know, they question questions. And I have to say, because I've spent a lot of years in the workplace, and I see this generation probably being as easily misunderstood, perhaps, as the millennials. And what I keep wrapping my arms around is, you know, this is the first generation. They were known as the latchkey kids. They didn't have a nuclear family that they came home to, you know, because of, you know, some economic shifts and changes. Mom and dad both had to go to work. You know, boomers typically grew up in a nuclear family where dad went to work every day, mom was home, you know, was there for you after school. And Gen X, not so much. This was when, you know, we needed dual income to support families. So it's very, very different things going on with Gen X. And in Victoria, what else do you want to fill in there?
Yeah, well, you know, whereas baby boomers, you know, believed in opportunity and security and democratic work environments and team and consensus, Generation X are more self-reliant. They're sort of, you know, like you said, the latchkey, you know, they want balance in their lives as well. They consider, you know, some prior generations to be workaholics, and, you know, they're more interested in having a more balanced life and a more casual approach to authority. They're a lot less corporate in their thinking. In fact, a lot of them are skeptical in their thinking about, you know, corporate politics and such. They don't care for office politics, and, you know, they like to inject a bit of fun at work. And they want to add skills and experience to their resume, and they're likely to quit if the opportunity doesn't exist. So these are, you know, sometimes a lot of the people who are doing the 2 to 3 year stints, right, at jobs at times.
Yes. And who would be a couple of examples of Gen X?
Gen X would look like Barack Obama, and Jennifer Lopez. So, you know, again,
and that's
two different
an
areas.
Extreme.
Yeah, exactly, except I think Barack Obama, you know, does like to dance. And so I have a feeling that the two of those, you know, might
and J-Lo
do okay
might,
on the dance floor.
You might
see
them on Dancing with the Stars one day, who knows.
Yes.
But anyway.
So watch YouTube, everybody. So,
this
is a different shift in a generation, again, from baby boomers.
And
keep
here's where the kind of the Oreo cookie sandwiching comes in, if you will. You know, we've got the almost 80 million baby boomers. Then we have a significant drop, about 59 Gen Xers. And now here we go with the next generation, the millennials, and they're about 80 million strong. I read somewhere, Victoria, that as of this year, the millennials have taken over the baby boomers in terms of being the largest generational group in the workplace. And so these are folks that were born, again, you'll see some shifting, but I'm going to follow what many demographers say. They were born between, let's say, 1981 and 1995, so by today's standards in 2016, that would make them between 21 and 35 years of age. And like we've referred to everybody else's mantra, you know, where we said the traditionalists question nothing, the boomers question everything, the Generation X is question questions, and the millennials are enough with the questions. Can we all just, you know, sing kumbaya and get along? And, you know, one of their most significant defining moments that comes to mind, and it affected Gen X too, was certainly Columbine, you know, one of the most hideous, but, you know, school massacres. So, and you've probably got some other detail and comparisons you want to make.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys are following sort of the flow with this, it's very interesting that we started out, you know, with traditionalists who were very authority respectful. Gen Y is sort of, you know, there's a little bit of a throwback in terms of they really like centralized authority and they respect having leadership and structure. But they do want flexibility. They want to learn and grow, and they do, you know, sort of have some what some other generations consider to be unrealistic expectations of doing that pretty quickly. They do want work to be fun, so there's, you know, a little bit of a throwback to Gen X. They are collaborative and goal-oriented and optimistic, and so their attitude is a lot, you know, maybe less jaded than, say, would be the Gen X's, right, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what might be kind of fun, Victoria, if we have time to kind of move through this, we it'd be fun to kind of do a comparison about what each of the generations says about the other one. What do you think?
Let's do that. That's the part where, you know, we get a little bit of comedic element to some of this. And we do, you know, we want you guys to understand that some of these things that we're going to go through are actual perceptions, you know, in the workplace. And some of this is what creates, you know, the problems and the challenges and the friction. And we want to help, you know, with these shows move through some of that and suggest ways to, you know, to smooth this out and blend this in a little bit. And people working together. So let's take a look at traditionalists, right? And how they would be perceived. Okay.
Right. So again, these are the command and control people, right?
Yes. Baby boomers would consider them to be dictatorial, rigid, and resistant to change, right?
Yes. And Gen X would say that they are set in their ways. They wish that they knew how to use email. I mean, one of the criticisms that Gen X makes about traditionalists is they are not tech savvy. But the millennials look at them as, hey, they're my grandparents. So they believe that they're trustworthy, they're good leaders, and they're brave. So, you know, that's quite a contrast. And what about boomers?
So.
How would boomers be described?
By traditionalists, they're considered to be too self-absorbed, very, very different. Gen Xers consider them to be self-righteous workaholics who don't walk the talk. So, again, we get a lot of friction between that generation. And then Gen Y goes, hey, they're cool, but they work too much. So,
right. And in defense of boomers, their mantra is kind of, you know, they believe in opportunity and security, democratic work environments. You know, they love team. They love consensus. They love good service. Work should be enjoyable. So, you know, you heard what some of the other generations say about them, and you see there's just a very very opposing views, if you will. So how about, could you describe Gen X for us?
Well, in Gen X, traditionalists would consider Gen Xers to not really have a clue about what hard work is and that they don't respect experience. So traditionalists, you know, really have some issues with the fact that there's not enough respect going on, you know, or appreciation going on from the, you know, from Gen X.
And boomers would call them slackers, and boomers have, you know, levied against Gen X that they're rude, they lack social skills, they spend too much time on the internet. And Gen Y, hey, just, would you guys just cheer up? But, you know, in defense of Gen X, they're self-reliant. Victoria, you mentioned earlier, they want balance in their life. They have a very casual approach to authority. You know, they don't have the same belief about authority, don't question authority like the traditionalists do. And they're a lot less corporate than the boomers. So there's a lot of, again, levying back and forth because they don't believe in the office politics, and they don't think, you know, your work is really meant, you're not meant to go to work to have fun necessarily. And so it is, again,
absolutely,
you're starting to see, I think, some interesting comparisons of, wow, could we be any more different? And then we've got Gen Y.
And when we throw that into the mix, looking at Gen Y from tradition, the traditionalists see Gen Y as having good manners and being smart kids. Boomers look at Gen Y as they're cute, they're tech savvy, but they need too much attention. They're too high maintenance. And Gen X sees them as self-absorbed, spoiled brats.
Yeah, and Gen Y kind of sees themselves as being, you know, collaborative, goal-oriented. They're optimistic. They like centralized authority. They also want and need opportunities, you know, to learn and grow. They want flexible schedules. They want to be challenged, and I think it's kind of fun. They want leaders to actually lead. You know, if you're going to have a leadership title, they actually want people to lead. So, and they do want work to be fun. So, again, very different from the generation right ahead of them, Gen X. So hopefully we're starting to see some real opportunity here in the workplace. Right, Victoria?
Absolutely. And here's the other thing we'll just throw in. Mary and I were talking about this before the show. Some of the other, we just talked about ego states last month, and hopefully you guys get to listen to those shows because they really present some awesome material. This month we're talking about generational differences. Next month we're going to be talking about gender. And gender, generational differences, and ego states all interplay in terms of how different cohort groups see one another and how they work together or have friction between them. So all of these different areas interplay. the these different factors will begin to, spell out different situations that you're seeing in the workplace. So we bring everything with us. We bring our gender view, our enculturation in our gender. We bring, the things that we have in terms of our own ego state slippage, given our own history and how we grew up. And then we bring our cohort group. What group, when were we born? So all of this is incredibly juicy in terms of interplay in when you're looking at workplace situations, and when you see someone, quite a backdrop that you have to bring with you in terms of not projecting simplistically on that situation or on that person and the way they're behaving. You have to understand where they come from, who they are.
I would say this too, Victoria, that I think it's so much easier in the workplace, especially in a leadership role, to finger point, either because of what we've learned about ego state or generational, or we're going to get into gender next month.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot more patience, and it's intentional deliberation to really pause for a moment, take a step back, and say, but what's right about this person? And I think if we would do more of that, which is, again, I know leading into what we're going to talk about next week, or excuse me, in our next show, I think it would really help transform some what we deem to be workplace issues.
Well, absolutely. And the interesting thing is a lot of what we've described as these projections, how the different groups perceive each other, has to do somewhat with an ego state. So, for instance, when a Gen Y looks at a Gen X and says, gee, why don't you just lighten up? That's probably what they would say to their parents, at times on a day when their parents were all wound up about something and they're wondering, what's the problem? You're making it complicated.
Or an older sibling, yeah.
Exactly, or an older sib, right. And again, when a Gen X, would look at a Gen Y and go, you're just being a spoiled brat. Again, that might be how that person would perceive a younger sibling, or a child, in their family. And so, again, you have to understand that ego state is very, very much, that's why we did that show first, very pervasive in terms of how we're going to perceive another person. It has to do with where we're looking from. And a lot of times when, as Mary said, there's this tendency towards simplicity and glossing over what's really a true understanding of the situation, that comes from a place where we're projecting on someone else and not from an adult ego state. We've slipped out of looking at the situation as an adult. Right, Mary?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm curious, Victoria, because you always have an interesting assignment. We don't call it homework. What do we call it?
A home play. There are no assignments here. We're just playing. We want you to think about some of these different things. As you're out there in your world of personal and in your world of work, we'd like you to maybe just start noticing the variations in the generations, both in your family and at work, and take a look at what you're hearing in terms of belief systems and where people are coming from. How are they maybe different from one another, given that their perspectives come from a different historical time point and different experiences in their lives? And what are maybe some similarities, places where they might be able to connect or collaborate? So we'd like you to just, sort of tune up your antennas this week and take a look at what's going on in the generations around you, in the people you work with, in home, and maybe, jot some notes for yourself, because the more that you're able to see something in its complexity, the more honest you are seeing the situation, and the more authentically you're seeing the situation, and the more you can be a positive change agent or a positive element in that situation. Differences can be a source of inclusion, or they can be a wedge, right, Mary? And it just depends
right.
on
absolutely. I was going to say, I would really look at which is it, because I think that's equally as important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all a choice. And so next show, I want to just give you an intro. We're going to look at how we're going to bridge these differences and how we're going to see the potential for collaboration and complementarity between these different groups. So this is very juicy stuff. Look at some of this, maybe do some Googling, look at some charts, read a little bit, and look around you and make some notes of the different cohort groups that you're involved with in your personal and in your work life. And we're going to see you in, a couple of weeks. Mary, our next show is on the 25th, is it?
Our next show is in 2 weeks, so that would be on the 26th, isn't it?
26th. Okay. So we'll see all you guys on the 26th. In the meantime, have a good couple of weeks and enjoy looking at potential generational bridges out there. Okay, bye-bye.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.